Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine, our global communities, as well as broadcast. And we're thrilled to bring visionaries and those on the rise together to create immediate impact. And today I have an amazing visionary with me, Joan Deeks. She brings over 25 years of experience in management and training expertise to her role as the strategic prime on all leadership and management training programs at Advantis. Prior to founding Advantis in 2000, she served as senior management capacity at Orca, Bay Sports and Entertainment, and several municipal governments in BC, offering significant expertise in strategic planning, leadership development, and human resources. Joan also founded the Labor Relations Roundtable of BC, British Columbia, and is an adjunct professor at the School of Business for Trinity Western University. She's an active member of the BC Human Resources Management Association and has a certified human resources professional designation. Joan also has a doctoral degree from Oxford Graduate School in Tennessee, an MBA and B.com from City University, an HR certification from BCIT. And I am so thrilled because human resources is one of my favorite areas to play. I did that for about 30 years. So, Joan, welcome. I'm so excited that you're bringing your wisdom in this really important area of our most important resource, the human resource, today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Joan, I wanted to start by finding out what helped you to realize your passion and purpose and gain so much influence that you experience today in the world that you're in. What was the driver for you?
There are a number of things, Vicki, but the one that stands out is when I was working as the Director of People Development at Orca Bay, which is now renamed to the Vancouver Canucks hockey team. It was at that time I started to realize how important strong executive leadership was in today's organizations and how people experience their day-to-day relationships with the organization is actually through their direct supervisor or manager. And I realized these were the key people who influenced the whole organization. And it was that understanding and realization that I started thinking about how could I best influence those managers. And one day we had a guest speaker come and talk with us about knowing your passion. And it was during his talk that a light bulb went on for me and I realized that I'd come to a fork in the road in my career. I could continue going down the path and toward a CEO position and to be a leader to a group of people, which would be very important and very fulfilling. But then I could also launch a company and facilitate workshops on being a leader and probably touch many more people in this type of resource in leadership and human resources. And so that's what I decided in 2000, that I would leave my position with the Vancouver Canucks and launch Advantis Consulting Group and would be an influencer to the influencer in organizations.
Well, that's really powerful and, you know, a very visible and, again, powerful position that you held and that you hold and a great place of contribution. You know, you weren't always here, though, Joan. So when you were on the rise, where did you go to find support for yourself and your ideas?
Yes, there are two people stand out in my mind. My husband definitely has always been my greatest cheerleader. I still recall being at a conference once in Whistler, British Columbia, and he said to me, Joan, you shouldn't be attending this workshop. You should be presenting it. And it caught me right off guard. But, you know, 13 years later, he kept encouraging me, take a stand, do something different. And I did. And I actually launched Advantis Consulting Group. And he's been very involved along the way. Business plans, websites, workshops, hiring staff, promoting conferences. I look at him as my right-hand person in making our company a success. Another person who had a huge influence in my life is a dear friend who recently passed away, but he was my mentor when I started at the largest city in British Columbia, the city of Surrey. And he took me under his wing as a deputy director of human resources, and he mentored me through the 3 summers while I was going to college. I would come and work there during the summers, and he just came alongside of me and really helped me to see a vision for human resources and leadership. And after I graduated from college, I went full-time at the City of Surrey in human resources, and John Collison helped me again to go to BCIT, encouraged me to continue my degrees, going on for my bachelor's and my master's degree. After 10 years of working together, I went on to another city in another capacity, and John launched his own company. However, he always stayed in contact with me and encouraged me to keep stretching. And his mantra was always wanting to bring leaders together and to encourage them to use their talents and gifts and share that with others. And this is part of me sharing that with others, which I think was his legacy that he had left.
Oh, how beautiful. And how proud he must have been of you. And what a wonderful legacy that is. It's just great that he passed that on to you. And now you're passing that on to so many others. What do you think are the key skills that are really required for a thriving business today to really make it happen?
Well, you know, you look around and information is everywhere. Now with internet, people can just get so much information. I almost think it can be an overload of information. So what I think is the real keys for a thriving business would be 2 areas. One being trust. So important. I think of Kuz's and Posner's book on the leadership challenge, and the question gets asked, what would cause people to willingly follow somebody? And they did a survey of over 75,000 people, and the word trust, people need to trust others. And I think of trust, and that means as a leader, you have to trust first. You take that risk, and you put yourself out and be a little bit more vulnerable. And understanding others, seeking alternatives, hearing what they have to say, and then making sure you take a lot of human moments, face-to-face conversations, and getting to know people. You know, I think of recently people are losing their ability to listen, interact, and trust one another. And I think that's partly because we live in this digital world. And I think more than ever, this trust component is so critical in our businesses. I think the next one ties in quite nicely to it, and that's relationships. The key, again, managers have the most influential basis for influencing staff and making an organization great. The line manager, one of the most important drivers in affecting even employee engagement, which is so critical if employers want to be productive at the workplace. And so when I think of key skills for a business, it would be 2, trust and relationship.
And to build that trust and relationship, it really takes the fostering that you're talking about. It can't be stepping aside and allowing things to happen. You know, the way management style used to be is just not working anymore. Is that what you're finding?
Very much so, that this is an ongoing process. And I think for so long, when you think of how, you know, sometimes over history, how people have been promoted in the ranks is that because you were really good at one skill, you may have been an accountant, an engineer, human resources, it's taken for granted that you will be promoted into a supervisor position or a manager position and automatically have those skills as a manager when it comes to engagement and delegating and supervising and motivating and giving toward an employee. And those skills don't come automatically. They are definitely something that needs to be developed and then needs to be constantly upgraded. And I think when I first started school and when we talked about managers, what their functions were, and very tangible, you know, the planning, organizing, scheduling, etc., But it has transitioned from that time, and nowadays much more relational versus task-oriented, although both are important. The key component is that you're constantly upgrading those with technology, with information. It is always changing, and it encourages managers with the rate of how things change and employees' expectations to always stay on top of their knowledge in the field of managing and leading.
Mm, that's so important, so important. And, you know, a lot of that is, you know, striking the whole idea of a sense of balance. And I was wondering, how do you help those that you're working with and coaching to achieve a sense of balance and fulfillment in, like, all areas of their life and for yourself as well?
Work-life balance, very key, which, you know, wasn't really a part of our work life years ago. I think, you know, people much more just work focused. But I believe when a person can balance their life and they give much more at work when they're there fully, and then when they're at home or on their leisure time, giving fully to that as well. Both are really important. For me, I need my quiet time. I need to I often go to bed early and rise early. I love having quiet times in the morning where I'm meditating, journaling, praying, just striking that healthy balance to keep life into perspective. And I find that when I do that, that it's a lot easier to cope with some of the stresses at work. And when things seem to be insurmountable, it helps me to go back and realize, you know what, put this in perspective. In the full picture of life, my life is not just work. It's who I am becoming as a person. And work is one component in which it stretches my character, stretches my knowledge, stretches my talents, and that is good. But so does my home life in areas of working and working around home, working in my garden, working at relationships. All very critical. So when I'm working with managers and talking with managers, I encourage them. Each person is different. My way of work-life balance would be quite different than somebody else's. But you need to spend time and find out what that balance looks like for you and then incorporate that into your day-to-day life. We only go through it once. You want to have a good balance between both your work and your home life.
Oh, that is so well put and so important, and people haven't always paid a lot of attention to that. And I think, you know, the fact that you're coaching people to really be able to have an appreciation for that is so incredibly powerful and important. You also mentioned that you have wonderful, wonderful partnership with your husband, and you had wonderful collaborations with a mentor. Tell me how important you think collaborations are to success, and maybe share with us some of the collaborations that you've experienced in addition to those two that have been really powerful.
Thank you. I definitely endorse collaborations. I remember years ago when you used to think, you know, to be at the top, you'd always hear those comments such as, you know, it's lonely being at the top, or we're an island, we can do it on our own, but definitely not. Collaborations are so key. And I think as a leader, you strive to the top when you put that solid base of collaboration together and you've got a great team working with you, that you can just excel even further. But it takes work at putting together an effective team. And I think of one that I had with one of the cities that I worked in. And we were such a partnership. It didn't seem like, okay, this is your role and this is your role and this is your role. People were not job descriptions. They were actually people who were striving to be their best. And when you're encouraging and recognizing their potential and encouraging them to even stretch further and become more, you actually are rewarded in yourself. It is a very good feeling to see them succeed. And when your team succeeds, you succeed. I don't think a person can do it on their own anymore. You need to be able to be competitive, and I think that comes down to being an effective team, because sometimes you have time to prepare for different projects, and sometimes you're just going together with the resources you have, full steam ahead, and just totally 100% relying on each other and knowing that they're there for you. And so I think it's really critical to invest in your team and trust your team, and in reverse, they trust you too. Makes it very
powerful. Yeah, it's so interesting. I was wondering, you know, you've been doing this for several decades where you've really been powerful in the arenas of helping our leaders become better leaders. How do you think collaborations and their importance have changed over the years?
I think just from the I can do it myself as a leader to actually realizing you cannot do it yourself as a leader, and you definitely have to have a powerful team with you. I think it will change even further as you see more people working from home, not coming into the office, not having that one-on-one face-to-face contact. I see, you know, your team might be in different countries. Your team might be in different locations. I think in the future, it'll be even a greater challenge for managers and leaders to keep that team intact, close together, striving together, and still feeling like a team. And I think that'll be a real challenge for a leader in the means of how they're going to communicate. And I think it'll take more than just one means. It used to be, you know, well, I'll just go down the hall and speak to this person. But I think, you know, I heard someone say, if you want to really communicate your message, it's seven different ways, seven different times. And, of course, that's always on how important that bit of information is. But I think we're going to be challenged to look at many different avenues of keeping that team contact with one another, be Skype, be WebEx, be email, be conference calls, be one-on-one face-to-face interaction. But I think what's going to be really a focus is that whole area of communication and how we can build that and build it on a regular and consistent basis.
Incredible. So what do you think is important in being able to attract a great team and then equally as important, if not more so, retaining them?
I think attracting, people want to go to a powerful team. You know, when people are placing, when you have a top skill, you're looking for a top company to use those skills. And so I always encourage in our workshops and that to hire the best. And I know people, oh, that's, you know, that's a good catchphrase. How do you do it? There are ways to hire the best. And you need to be able to get to know the person, what their technical skills are, but also what their behavioral skills are, and know how to find the right fit for your company. And take time, do your research, do your reference checks. Make sure they know you fully before you make that offer of a job. So I always start with the foundation. Hire the best, because they are going to stretch and bring the team together as well. And then get to know the person. They're not a job description. Yes, there are certain jobs that they need to carry out, and they will do it based on their uniqueness and what they bring to that job. But to get to know that person beyond that job description. Know what their strengths are. Let them know what your strengths are. Show them how your two strengths can blend together and even go further in the company. And invest in that person. Show them that you care. And it can't just be, oh, I have an open door policy. You need to walk that. You need to be out finding out about them, caring for them, knowing who they are as a person and about them. And then I think another critical part is rewarding. When people do an excellent job, you need to know that person. What type of reward do they like? Is it a card? Is it a congratulations? Is it going out for coffee, going out for lunch together? What motivates that person? And take a vested interest in that area, because we all know that when you want something to recur, you reward, you encourage, you support that person in doing that function, and it repeats itself. And so knowing that little phrase, you get what you reward, is, to me, to ask a person, what motivates you on the job, and how can I make you the best success here? And taking that perspective on leading an organization, you will keep the top people coming and wanting to apply with your job, your company.
Mm. Oh, such important words of wisdom. We're so thrilled because you are going to be sharing your wisdom in our upcoming book, Ready, Aim, Influence, along with Carlos Slim, The Richest Man in the World. And we're so thrilled to have people of both of your caliber with us and contributing to that book. I was wondering, since you've made such a big impact on your world and people in it, what is your big picture vision for this work that you're doing? Almost like, what would you like to see be a legacy with the work you're doing globally?
Globally, what I'm looking at is impacting, again, the middle manager within organizations. Employee engagement is such a critical component of every organization in the world. And the Gallup put some statistics together a number of years ago and showed how low employee engagement at the workplace is, and that there's a small, about 30% of employees who are actually fully engaged. And that has huge ramifications when it comes to productivity, morale, absenteeism, et cetera, that if a manager can impact and see the vision and see how they can transform the culture of a workplace and help motivate employees to be fully engaged at their job, they can actually change their place of work. And that rippling throughout many organizations has a humongous impact to the world. And so my vision is to see leaders get challenged and to understand how they are such a key influencer to the whole organization. And once they catch that vision and realize that they will impact their employees negatively or positively, they are impacting that employee. And once they know how to tap into the best way to influence each employee, influence their team, and motivate their team, they will see bottom line results. It's bound to happen. People who love their job impact the productivity. And the interesting thing is, when I went through my doctorate degree, part of our research even shows that life satisfaction and work satisfaction are reciprocal. So if I gain greater satisfaction, greater engagement at the workplace, that has an impact on my home life as well. And so it's kind of like a side benefit, is that as a manager, I impact employees, I build them up, I encourage, I help with their engagement, and that has a rippling effect back to their homes, back to their families, back to their communities. And it all starts with the manager.
Mm, so powerful, just so powerful. So do you have like a brief exercise or tip or something that you use for yourself or share with your clients that helps them be able to achieve this and really put this into action?
Mm, you know, my tip, I almost am embarrassed to say it because it's so straightforward, but it works. And my tip is that we can talk about strategies. We can talk about engagement. We can talk about different ways to motivate. But if it's not put into action, it's just words. They fall away. And so the simple action that I always encourage people to do is a basic, I call it the checklist challenge every week. Start your week off by writing down what your goals are and one step toward that goal and how you're going to accomplish that goal. And pick a date each week that you look at that list, check off what you've done, what you haven't done, put it on the next list, and keep it constantly in front of you. If you don't have this vision of impacting your team, impacting others in front of you on a regular, consistent basis, and that on a regular, consistent basis, you are doing something toward that goal, it will not happen. If we think overnight we're going to change the world, it's not going to happen. But if you can systematically, concretely do something tangible toward that vision on a regular basis, it will happen. And it happens over and over again. And often in my training, I will say to people, okay, we're going to do a checklist challenge for 4 weeks, and we keep each other accountable, phoning in, how are you doing? How are you keeping up with that checklist? And I'm amazed at the results over and over again. And so this is not new. You've read about it, you've heard about it, etc. But if there was one tip that I felt, wow, if I could only share one idea to help people take steps towards change, that is it. Make it, write it down, make it visible, and then walk toward it. Do something every day towards change.
Mm. So it's really a matter of defining it. And then after it's really defined, then taking action to move toward it. And those things have to be in place, both of them, in order to make it happen.
That's correct.
Oh, that is really, really important. So important. A time with you just flies, Joan. Do you have any parting thoughts that you'd like to share with us or anything that you feel it's really important for us to know about this all-important subject?
Thank you, Vicki. I've shared a number of different areas, and I really do feel that we've covered the greatest part of the influence that the manager has. And I guess my parting thought would be to managers that sometimes, it feels almost like a little bit of an uphill battle. And it's hard because you can be sandwiched in between reporting to a CEO and also having a number of staff reporting to you. And you're kind of right in the middle of it. And I guess I would want my parting thought to be to managers, don't get discouraged. See the powerful impact you have. See the influence that you have to your boss and also to those that follow you. You are right in the middle, and it's just like an hourglass. You're kind of right in the middle of that squeeze part, but you have the greatest influence, both directions, upward and leading people alongside with you. And I think that's a powerful one to take forward every day of your work.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So tell me, where can people contact you, Joan, for more information, to tap into your wisdom and connect with you? Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's at www. Advantis Consulting Group, and that's all one word, Advantis, Advantis, consultinggroup.com. And that provides different workshops, newsletters, etc., that people could have access to.
Oh, thank you so much, Joan. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for sharing that. For everyone out there, I hope you will take advantage of visiting Joan's website. Can you give it one more time just to make sure everyone's got it, Joan?
Yes, at www.advantis, Advantis, consultinggroup, all one word, .com.
Fantastic. Well, again, Joan, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And for everyone out there listening, have a wonderful week. And if you'd like to learn more about Expert Insights, you can visit us at getei.com. That's getei.com. Thanks again, Joan. Thanks for everyone out there listening, and have a wonderful week.